$35.
Bob, can I just say about the second grade reading level? Sometimes it's written so, it's so simple, it's confusing.
No, right, it's, and sometimes it's not even second grade. Sometimes it's the menu at the Idiocracy Hospital, you know, the one with all the symbols on it.
It's that, or, you know, if you have 5 buckets and you give 3 buckets, how many buckets do you have?
I want all the buckets.
What? The square peg that goes in the oval.
Officer material.
Friend of the OE is so smart.
And so my new friends were just kind of looking at me with, what? Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing. You know, controlled carry permit, just go down to Cletus's, buy yourself a shooting gun, get you some bullets, and come on up here to the range, and 2 hours later you'll be ready to conceal it and carry it anywhere you want to and defend Walmart from the Muslims.
What are they shooting, empty tin cans on a fence post? If you hit, you're done, you're out of here.
Right.
They got
their Barack Obama silhouette target, you know, and
shooting bags of Skittles. We're going to shoot Skittles today.
I mean, I saw this in the chat room before the show, as the show was starting. Arizona cop who encouraged shooting Obama claims it is a victimless crime. An Arizona police officer by the name of Pat Shearer, he posted a photograph of an Obama T-shirt riddled with bullet holes, and he says that he should not be convicted under the crime of encouraging violence against the president because it is a victimless crime. They were holding up the bullet-riddled Obama T-shirt with the caption, "Another trip to the ranch." Sergeant Shearer was demoted, and he now works the midnight shift, and he had got a 2-week suspension.
With pay?
Of course.
He
said, "I was an idiot for putting it on Facebook, but to have all the pluses in my career forgotten over this one incident, which harmed no one, I think, is taking things too far."
Okay. So, yeah, and, well, those are the same kind of people that think the, you know, the ELF sitting in trees on mountaintop removal sites, you know, they're the biggest terrorist organization in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're chaining themselves. Yeah. You know, they lit a fire. Oh, da, 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 da. Did anyone die? I don't know. It was victimless. Leave them alone. You know, they don't ever want to play that other edge. But yeah, don't you love it? It's victimless. Oh yeah, more wood in the fire. How many commercials we need? Oh, now we need police showing. You know, come on.
Right. You build your barbecue fire. It's not as hot as you'd like. So you go and you squirt some more Gulf Light on it. And it roars up, but it doesn't burn your eyebrows off, so it's a victimless crime, even though you caught the tree on fire and it burned to the ground.
This is,
ain't nobody actually took a shot at him or nothing. It was a victimless crime.
Oh, yeah. He's only the most, they've released that, right? That he's the most,
threatened president in the history of the United States?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen hate crime groups, rise up like, you know, someone put Miracle-Gro and, you know, Ready Seed. It's all over the place. As soon as he got elected, right, we've seen people, they were going to kill 88 of them black people, and he was going to be the 88th.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it's endless. It's endless. It's just ceaseless with this. And I'm so sick of it. Where do we go, though? First Amendment. Hey, you, come on. Is that First Amendment?
No.
I mean, 2 hours to carry a freaking gun? 2 hours? Shouldn't it be 2 hours a month?
Oh, that's as much time as it takes to watch a good gun-toting movie's 2 hours, and you learn a lot in one of them. This is two... No, see, Albert, this is 2 more hours.
Oh, no.
I mean, I got 2 hours watching Dirty Harry at Magnum Force. I got 2 hours watching Killer Lee. I got 2 hours watching Death Wish. I got 2 hours watching
The Mechanic.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I got to do two more hours.
Don't forget your hand-to-hand combat with under fire and under siege, enemy of the state.
Jesus, the hunter safety class that I took 3 nights here.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Well, you're hunting people.
Two nights of instruction and 1 night of test.
Mm-hmm. You can sneak right up to a people. They won't even know you. They won't even pay attention to you.
No, because they're used to them.
Yeah.
It's just like the Galapagos Islands.
They're acclimated.
They are acclimated. Don't say those words around the girls, Albert.
Oh, they're tough sometimes. Just getting them out the right way, with the right spin on it. It just never ends. We kind of have some Stockholm syndrome going on, and we need to stop it. We need to understand that we're
the answer is not to stop noticing how godforsaken hateful the other side is.
And that's there is no equivalency. I mean, your point about the hours, we're talking thousands of hours versus every liberal voice on. I mean, come on, it's not even it's ridiculous. It's a horde. It's just the horde. How are liberals? Who point to them? Who? Who is this? Who are we worried about now? Mr. Noam Chomsky, who's 89 years old, and, they keep dragging him out. I can't feel like I want him to have a rest, but he's got the fire, so he keeps going. Who else? Michael Moore every now and then. Who else? I mean, what, we're losing in the government? Who? Who? Bernie Sanders? Who else? A couple girls here and there, a couple guys here and there. They don't just roll off my tongue, but I didn't know these people were national news. I didn't know that our side even had a voice half the time.
He hasn't been consistently what you would call a liberal or progressive. But Dylan Radigan's walking away from MSNBC.
Mm. Oh, Chris Hayes. Chris Hayes is good.
Yeah,
I like Chris Hayes. He's
I like Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel too. Oh, I love Rachel. I mean, Dylan Radigan, he kind of seemed like I don't know what he's doing. Who knows? We'll see.
It was interesting, though, when announcing his departure from MSNBC, he said something like, I can either go on doing what I'm doing, or I can go out there and put the things I've been talking about into practice, and I'm doing the latter.
Good. We need it. Yeah, we'll see. I've heard a couple of good things. He's a lot less crazy than some people out there. He does it.
Well, they had to move him off CNBC.
Yeah, he was getting there, wasn't he? He started out not so much, but he evolved. He's one of those that has the light switch on. He's got the door open, at least the screen door,
Yeah. By the way, noting in the chat room here, Cowgirl said Hunter Safety, and she's in North Dakota. At least when I teach, it is 5 nights, including testing and a field day to do actual shooting. No shortcuts. Period. 6 days total. So I guess I got away with something.
Yeah, I mean, heck, just come on over to Wisconsin. Be hunting people. 2 hours.
With a handgun in 2 hours.
With a handgun, 2 hours, concealed. Concealed. Hidden in your little Magnum PI bikini brief. Gun holster.
With the little Velcro bullet pocket.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Now if I could just get me a 2-hour class to learn how to fly that helicopter and drive that Ferrari.
Grown out with a mustache. Just for men gray. They got that for the mustache now. It's a big deal.
Oh, it is. It's a big deal.
I don't even know why. It's so sad. So vain. It's just shallow. I don't
know. Sandra just wrote in, Chomsky's an anarchist.
Ah, that's true, too.
So, yeah. We can't count him.
I know. Who do we got? Who? I want to hear. I'd love to know. And Rachel, we already mentioned some of them.
But we're talking about media people. I mean, who's out there? Who's out there leading the damn fight? Because the media people can't lead the fight.
No.
Because if they're on our side and they lead the fight, they wind up getting suspended.
Mm.
Or fired.
Or I'd like to think we're wise and we're hip to it at least. And you tell other people, and I know that you and everyone who listens to the horn, to the people that they know, that they probably, a lot of people get their news from you. I mean, I know a lot of people get their news from me. I know a lot of people call me up and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, did you read? Because they know I pay attention. And then I sit there and I read it, and I talk to them, and we'll talk about it, And there's some people that, they do that. So, don't give up, and, don't hate the media too much. Become the media,
Yeah.
We are on the Internet nowadays,
Catapult to propaganda.
Catapult to propaganda. Or just try to, ask for sources when you're hearing talking to people. You'd be amazed how quickly they unwind. You want a source? Here's WorldNet Daily right there. It's WorldNet Daily.
I mean, they couldn't call it that if it wasn't that.
That's right. I'll go back to Stormfront, you friggin' freak. Everyone's seen these people. And they're there, and they have their voices as loud as you, so it's up to you to use facts. I mean, heck, I can't really even think a whole lot of media that I even watch anymore, other than the shows we had mentioned and clips here and there. I don't have the stomach to listen to Bill O'Reilly anymore. I don't. I just can't do it. He just is too aggravating. It makes me want to.
I can't. On the TV box, just clickety 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 clickety. I'm forever forgetting where Fox is. So, shit, click. I don't have patience. I don't have the patience for not one nanosecond. I don't have the patience for the time it takes for the screen to go blank and go to the next channel.
Yes, sir.
Which, as it turns out, is headline news, and 99% of the times that means it's like Nancy Grace.
Oh! Oh, God. But for real, what do they say just having a sharp logic knife in your pocket is enough. You don't even need to know facts. You can just listen to them, and you already know the argument because it's the same argument that you defeated 20 years ago or you talked about, whenever. Yeah, it's the same things from these people constantly, and it's so easy to show them how wrong they are because, Fox, they're nonstop lies, nonstop. Don't tell me there's an equivalency. Rachel Maddow doesn't lie like that. She doesn't. And if she makes a tiny little...
And I'm sorry, citing the Huffington Post as the liberal outpost. Spare me. Just got a note in from Jim who said, I took a trip to Wisconsin once. He said, while driving to La Crosse, I met a farmer who spray-painted his cows to prevent hunters from Chi-Town from shooting them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Paint them that same hunter, hunter orange. Oh, yeah. They're wearing a vest. Can't shoot at it. Damn. Slow L. Slow L. I know, Brother Albert. Good to hear from you.
Always, Brother Bob. You take care, and we'll talk later.
Absolutely. Work on, put a little more into your efforts for your stirrup pin tomorrow, will you?
I'll try.
I mean, you got to be in the competition.
Yes, comrade. You're right.
All right. Later. Bye. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Email coming in from Reverbo with regard to Steve Almond. He said, you read this guy's argument and think how reasonable it all sounds, and then ask, or, I'm sorry, that's present tense. You read this guy's argument and think how reasonable it all sounds, and then ask, yeah, but what good is all this when the forces of evil are ready to spend $1 billion to shut you up every time you try to open your mouth? You think the Koch brothers would go away if no one were paying attention to them? They took over the country when no one was paying attention to them. Great moments in Reverbo. You think the Koch brothers would go away if no one were paying attention to them? They took over the country when no one was paying attention to them. Yes, he continues, somebody on the left has to come up with a better idea than hippies toasting marshmallows on the courthouse lawn. But then you have the problem that when a large and diverse population of free individuals are pitted against a small number of billionaire Vladimir Putin wannabes, the latter have a much easier time maintaining an organized attack than the former. So indeed, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? On your feet and into the street. It's the only kind of an answer I've got. Thanks, everybody, for a wonderful evening. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your continued support for what we do here. We could not continue to do what we do here without your continued support. We did not raise our evening's $100, so maybe tomorrow we'll raise $200. Hopefully. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to Texas Betsy. Thank you to Reverbo. Thank you to John Fox for all that he does to keep all the lights flashing and equipment behaving. And websiting. Thanks for the decade-long effort of Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. There is only a stream here because of Ben. It's that simple. And finally, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and stoptheache.org. Go there, learn about the Ache Act, learn about this life-changing legislation that is about to drop in the House of Representatives. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next, only on the Horn.
Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Middle of the week get here so quickly. You know, more and more, I really do. I've developed an appreciation for the speed at which the Earth moves. Mostly, we go through life largely unaware of the tremendous speeds at which this little blue-green orb, this little time machine hurtling through the universe, hurtles. But if you pay attention, you really can get an appreciation for the speed. And I'm there. Because wow. It's the 13th of June. We're only 2 days from being halfway through June. And I don't know where it went. But if we stop to think about it, how many of us really have any idea of where any of it went? It goes so fast. A little bit of good news. I do love to share some good news when I can. We need that. And I was surfing the series of tubes today. And I ran across a little notice. You know, it was a couple of nights ago, I think, when I was describing this silly business. And we had a posting in the chat room from Cowgirl, who said they would, by God, do everything in their power not to let such silliness take place. You may recall that North Dakota had a constitutional amendment, not just some silly little law, but a constitutional amendment, on the ballot yesterday, that would have given people the religious liberty to run traffic lights. In the name of Jesus, I declare you green. Still red, Homer. Jesus tells me it's green, I'm a-going. The whole thing was grounded in nothing but unmitigated hatred, which is, of course, how the right-wing religion industry operates. The hatred was for people who are LGBTQ and hatred for people, the women folk, who would like to have control of the operations of their own insides. It was a religious liberty constitutional amendment. And I have the happy duty of reporting to you this evening that the people of North Dakota are apparently more like Cowgirl than they are about like whatever freak put this initiative forward. They didn't just beat this act of manifest stupidity. They stomped it. They did what you need to do when you see the religion industry on the march in your area. They didn't just reject it. They wholeheartedly and with full voice said, using the single most powerful word in the English language, no. They didn't just say no. They said, oh, hell no. The constitutional amendment in the state of North Dakota failed by a 2-1 margin. And that is indeed a happy thing. You know, usually we only think about the 13th of a month in any particular terms at all, if we think about it, as if it falls on a Friday. But today, I kind of went, what? Now, you know, I was on the road quite a bit, and you know that I'm fascinated with other cultures, and moreover, fascinated with history. So I've been doing a little reading about the history of Central Europe and things like that, and Western Europe, whatever. Germany. And for some reason or another, I went down the primrose path of the series of tubes that is the Wikipedia. Reading a little of this and a little of that. I started out trying to learn about Königsberg, because I was reading some World War I history, and that led to one thing, and one thing led to another, and the next thing I knew, I was looking at a photo of that castle called Neuschwanstein, which was built by Ludwig II in the latter portion of the 19th century. And I don't profess to know how the universe operates. I believe it was C.G. Jung who proposed that there are some moments of what he called synchronicity, which run out past a little ways past coincidence into the realm of the unexplained. Coincidence will do fine. But lo and behold, the 13th of June, and I suppose it has already happened since there's 6 hours difference between here and there, the 13th of June is, in fact, the anniversary of the death of said sad, mad King Ludwig. Under most mysterious circumstances, he had been deposed from the throne and told his keeper, a physician, that he wished to go for a walk along the water's edge. There's a lake nearby. And he was found, and the doctor, quite dead, some several hours later. The doctor was dead with old strangle marks around his neck. Mad King Ludwig, who was, there was an open question as to whether he was mad, he was probably just gay, was said not to have a mark upon his body. He died in shoulder-deep water, and yet was known to be a strong swimmer in his youth. It was the 13th of June, and I was just reading along. It just doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense that I'm reading that today. 13th of June. But just one of those odd little moments. Odd indeed. His magnificent castle was meant to be an homage to Richard Wagner, and instead went on to be an inspiration for Walt Disney, Sleeping Beauty's Castle. One never knows what one does, or one never knows the effects of what one does down the road. Instead of building a monument to Lohengrin, he built a monument that would serve as the inspiration for a monument in its own right to fantastical capitalist excess. How about that? Huh. But it is thought that Ludwig, far from being mad, was simply gay. And 130 years later, 7,000 miles away, people of quite sound mind gathered together in North Dakota and decided that they would brook that they could brook no countenance of a hatred born of religious madness. Isn't that neat? I'm so proud. North Dakota is one of those flyover states where the right-wing religion industry is supposed to have absolute sway over all things. But Cowgirl was right. They stopped the religious bigots smack dab in their tracks. There's only one thing that I would remind, and that is this. They ain't going away. You beat them this time, but they'll be back. Just like they went back and are coming back again and again with their little fetal personhood bill. Right? They don't quit. They have oodles and oodles and oodles of money. And the only thing we have on our side is our passion not to let them
have the day.
Okay, so I'm not quite so lost, Michael out there, Kid A from the chat room. I have for years called it going down and getting stuck in the wiki hole. It can make for some interesting browser history. How about I get from Robert Oppenheimer to Charles in charge? And you know what? Only through the magic of the wiki can that question be answered. One of my new friends and hosts, while I was away, and I discussed this fact, she said, "Sometimes I am almost afraid to open Wikipedia, because I can look up and 4 hours will have been gone, and I will have no idea where I've been, or how I got there. But it will have been a lovely journey." We had a good laugh. Going down and getting stuck in the wiki hole, indeed, Michael. And that's beautiful. How did I get from Robert Oppenheimer to Charles in charge? It can be done. Dr. John observing. So, North Dakota has no crime, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, I guess? They have time for that shit? Well, they did. And they got it thrown back in their face. And we have to give them at least a little bit of applause for doing that. God knows how many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not perhaps millions of dollars were thrown away down some rat hole in North Dakota to promulgate that toxic bit of hate. But the right wing doesn't consider money. You know, they're the same crowd that tells you, I'm a fiscal conservative. But when it comes to putting evil shit like that on the ballot, they do not wait 1 minute. They don't stop to think, you know, if we do this, we're going to spend $1 million putting this on the ballot and trying to get people to vote for it. And then we're going to spend another couple of million defending the damn thing in court, and it's all going to be taxpayer money. Well, all that fiscal conservative business goes right swirly down the tube. When they think there's something that they want to get their hands on to try to make, you know, it was billed as liberty, when in fact it was an infringement upon freedom. The freedom simply to be. You would like to hope that in moments like this, you see the beginnings of a movement to turn these reckless, irresponsible bastards out. You'd like to hope. And maybe it is. Jim apparently also familiar with Ludwig II. Linderhof, another home he built. The grotto with fantastic images in which he traveled by boat is incredible. He was Wagner's patron and became a recluse. Yeah. He wanted badly for Wagner to get to see the castle he built there, which it was not originally called Neuschwanstein. But Wagner died without ever having set foot in the place. Question of vocabulary coming along from Kevin in Colorado Springs. LGBTQ, what does the Q stand for? Hopefully not what it sounds like. Well, it does. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer. And I think if memory serves me correctly, going back to the magnificent days of Peter Godbold's pioneering work with Strictly Confidential, it actually can be extended to LGBTQQQ. I don't know if you're out there, Peter, but do I have that right? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, and queer questioning. An attempt to take in the entire universe of non-heterosex. So, yeah, that's what the Q is for. And it is not hateful. It is completely, it is completely accepted terminology. Within that descriptive realm.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. John. QQQ. Exactly. Queer and queer questioning. And it's a little awkward verbally, except it doesn't get any better to say Q cubed. You just get a little more lost. LGBTQ, QQ. Think of it as a hyphen in between the first two Qs. While they are far from safe, a blow was struck, in fact, for freedom yesterday, on Election Day, in North Dakota. 19 minutes past the hour. This is, of course, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. Our podcasting home is WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can also get the stream there. The stream is available on a number of other platforms as well, although we did notice some hiccups last night along the way over at iTunes Radio. But it's available at iTunes Radio, Tuner Internet Radio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Stitcher, Tuner Internet Radio, and TuneIn Radio, available on your smartphone, which is a quantum leap forward in making internet-based broadcasting available or as ubiquitous as commercially driven terrestrial palaver. You know, the kind of stuff where Rush Limbaugh says that, my friends, the firefighters they serve no purpose in America. They do not contribute to our economic expansion. That kind of drivel that sort of just fumbles and drools coming out of his mouth as he contemplates his next hit, or perhaps his next all-boys weekend in the Dominican Republic. And, there we go. We also have confirmation from Kate on the Front Range. QQQ, you got it right. And she says, oh, Kevin, it's acceptable, depending on who is using the terms and in what tone of voice. Precisely. I do want to do a little house cleaning. It's not really house cleaning. It's just, the nature of this program has been, for a number of years, it obtains a sort of serial quality. And it does so because this is a manifestation of the future of media, such that people listen to the program at various times of their own choosing, which is at the heart of new media. You can, for instance, listen to the program live, or you can listen to it on the podcast, or you can listen to it on the 24/7 stream that rolls constantly over our streaming service. That means that you're not necessarily listening at the same time someone else is listening, and thus your ideas and your contributions and thoughts will strike you at a different time from when the program is live, which lends that sort of serialized effect to the program. And thus, I've got a bit of catching up from last night. This has been known to happen on more than one occasion. This comment comes in anonymously, and it is in regard to the story of Ms. Trujillo from California, who I reported to you last night, was on a kidney transplant list for a condition she has had since childhood and now requires a new kidney and has been on dialysis for 5 years and was punted off the kidney transplant list because under a doctor's care she had begun smoking cannabis. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center of California treated Ms. Trujillo like a social pariah. They informed her that she no longer could remain on the kidney transplant list. This is all just catch-up work. Insisted that she subject herself to weekly screenings of her blood or urine, I suppose, although I guess we can do hair, too. Make sure that she is no longer consuming any of that evil marijuana. She was, in fact, compelled to participate in a 12-step program. And I didn't, the whole story, she's still not back on the list. She hasn't made it through the steps, I guess. Or actually what it boils down to is she hasn't been clean for 6 months, even though she was never dirty in the first place. She doesn't know when her 6 months will begin running. After she's finally been, I mean, she really doesn't know. After she has been peeing so-called clean for 6 months, then the 6 months, and then she's back on the list, which is actually a punishment of a year. And understand, we are talking about a punishment. This is punitive. But I got a little bit of pushback from someone who will remain anonymous because of the strictures of those organizations, who said, I listened to the segment regarding the woman in California who needs a kidney transplant. The report sounded a bit as if NA or AA are responsible for her troubles and in control of the outcome of her case. I shuddered at the tone of the description of the recovery process. The 12-step program has no opinions, no affiliations, nor requirements. There might be some in the audience, especially elders, who need the programs for drinking, drugs, including prescriptions, compulsive eating, or gambling. They would be scared away by such comments. Many die because of their ignorance. I'm a longtime listener and contributor and an expert on this issue with 32 years of abstinence from all of the above addictions. It was explained to me that Anonymous in the Ether needed to be so because those are the rules of the organization, that one must remain anonymous at the level of press, radio, and films, which I accept. And I try to foster, you know, the whole purpose of this exercise that's been going on for what will be 7 years in this incarnation in October. We have always tried to foster dialogue and discussion. I don't like it when we, you know, argue and get snipey with one another, because I like to think that we're a little bit better than the other side. But considered dialogue and discussion is both welcome and hoped for. And this is one of those moments. So, you know, I stand corrected to the extent that anyone felt offended by my having been offended that this woman was compelled into a 12-step program. But let us understand that her participation in some sort of counseling or group session or whatever, or perhaps 12-step program, is compulsory. If she wants to continue to live, she has to go and sit in the group meetings. Personally, I find that offensive in the extreme. I find that offensive from the standpoint of people who really, really have hit bottom and recognize that they are out, that they have no ability to control their addiction and therefore need something like one of the NAAA, OA, you know, things that organizations that end in A. There are people who really, really do need that. and none of us can safely say, oh, it'll never be me. Because you never know what happens in the incredibly rapid turnings of this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe, as noted. But to compel that poor woman, literally under pain of death, to attend meetings that she did not need, is a slap in the face, both to the people who do need it and to those who don't. For those who do need it, she cheapens the process. For those who don't need it, it forces upon them something that is not... The only way those programs work is if you go there by choice, not by compulsion. All the 12-step programs that end in A share that with one of the central tenets of Islam. For early on in that Muslim so-called holy book, there is the phrase which in translation, I have no idea what it is in Arabic, but in translation, it says, there is no compulsion in religion. And I think the existential underpinning of that is that religion that is compulsory is not religion at all, but hypocrisy. And it really is applicable across the board. This is, after all, Wednesday. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. I just kind of jumped into the chair and got going without going through the shtick about the blood-red carpet. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and it is worthy of consideration that the fact that there is no compulsion in religion true regardless of which religion one is participating in. That does not mean others do not try to compel. If, for instance, you grew up in the Deep South and you went to church because your neighbors went to church, and what would the neighbors say? Then that is compulsion in religion, and it marks out the religion as inherently false. If you attend religious services because somebody will show up at your door, take you away, call you a heretic, and burn you at the stake, as Mother Church did to millions of people over the course of about 2,000 years, then there is compulsion in religion, and it is not religion but hypocrisy. If one, at the point of the sword, confesses that there is no God but God and Muhammad is his prophet, and makes said confession only because the point of the sword is at one's jugular vein, there is, in fact, compulsion in religion, and it is not religion but hypocrisy. If one goes to the voting booth and declares it to be the policy of one's state that a certain sect may declare red lights to actually be green ones, then there is compulsion in religion, and it is not religion but hypocrisy. I have probably strayed somewhat from my central thesis. But my point is that I do not wish people for me to think that I am issuing a blanket condemnation of 12-step programs, but rather that I am specifically pointing out that compelling a person who is not sick with an addiction to attend an addiction counseling program, it's not just wrong, it's hateful. And on top of, I cannot begin to express what would be going through my mind were I in Ms. Trujillo's shoes, knowing that a hospital addiction panel held my very life in their hands. I cannot begin to say that I would be responsible for my actions. But then again, to a certain extent, metaphysically, we are all in Ms. Trujillo's shoes, to one degree or another. We truly are. There are some truisms in those so-called holy books that are otherwise filled with a bunch of hate and hobgoblins. And one of those truisms is that not the next minute is guaranteed. And it isn't. Not the least of which, because there's no one out there to do the guaranteeing. So I hope there's a I hope there's a little clarity on that. I was not trying to condemn 12-step programs. But I do condemn anyone who tells someone that doesn't need one that they must perforce attend. Is there some clarity on that? I hope. Sandra, just a little note, a little audio note to Sandra. I am trying to get something she is sending and having a little bit of trouble, but maybe it'll happen this time. Repeated attempts have thus far failed. I do that, you know, multitask. It happens during the course of conversation, and I like to think that you wouldn't necessarily know that it's going on. Got it. Thanks, Sandra. Our anonymous writer has followed up. This problem presented is due to the judicial and healthcare system. They use 12-step programs as dumping grounds. Thankfully, sometimes it works for them. You are right. It cheapens the process and will likely shorten her life. As an aside, the programs are not religious, but rather spiritual, regardless of how some of the meetings sound. They are a reflection of the culture. Meetings abroad are so unlike the Christianesque here in the States. After all, we are a Christian nation, right? I agree with your outrage, but it happens to all of us. It's about all the freaking hoops we gotta jump through. Hear, hear. And, Cowgirl, Patty, sent along the, front page from the newspaper, from the Bismarck Tribune. She says, take a quick look at the front page of the Biz Trib today. Three, which is what the name of that constitutional amendment was not all the Reich tried to pull for the primary where they were sure nobody would show for. We had a way bigger turnout than normal. The fact is, on the right side, the rest of the BS the Reich tried to pull off is across the page on the link. The powers that be tried to force our amendment for medical marijuana into the prong of the primary, but we got that jumped to the November general. We didn't want it lost in the crazy. Oh my God, how about that? There was some more stupid on the ballot. No on the religious liberty, you know, and even that is a misnomer. Well, North Dakotans voted against religious liberty. No, they didn't. North Dakotans actually voted in favor of it. So that everybody could be religiously equal and no one would get to run red lights. Measure 4, the Fighting Sioux. A yes vote would repeal Senate Bill 2370, which requires the University of North Dakota to continue to use the Fighting Sioux logo and nickname. It would allow the university to discontinue the nickname and logo. Guess what? In a moment of the decent respect for Native peoples, Measure 4 was yes. Measure 4 repeals North Dakota Senate Bill 2370 that says that the University of North Dakota has to keep calling itself the Fighting Sioux, even though there ain't no Fighting Sioux on the Fighting Sioux and nobody asked the Fighting Sioux who ain't fighting. I hope I'm reading this right and it manifests as a little bit of dignity for a people who have been subjected to uncounted indignities. They also had an opportunity to abolish all property taxes in the state of North Dakota, where, in fact, as noted, they have in past years ground up some paved roads and turned them into gravel again. That, too, was rejected. 155,600 people cast votes yesterday in North Dakota. That was huge for North Dakota. A lot of naysaying. Measure 1. I don't know what Measure 1 was. Yes, but Measure 2, no. Measure 3, no. Measure 4 was a yes that allowed them to stop spitting on the Sioux people. Very interesting. Thank you, Peg. Dr. John noting, bravo, North Dakota. I didn't realize the Fighting Sioux issue was on the ballot. They got them both right? Rockin'! I'm proud when so-called red states or flyover country or whatever get it right. Then this from David in South Carolina, one of our many Davids. Many poor people are, subject line, poor people are like stray dogs. Almost my new congressman, primary day 2012 in South Carolina. Many Democratic precincts were closed and moved yesterday, says David in South Carolina, for the primaries in South Carolina. Voters had been moved to new precincts and none had been notified by the South Carolina Election Commission or their county voter registration office. My driver's license expired because they claimed I drove 5 days with no insurance in a car that did not even have tags. Nevertheless, I went and got my official South Carolina photo ID and was able to vote. Had to have long-form birth certificate, paper, those metal ones are not acceptable, social security card, electric bill, DD-214. Surprised you didn't have to have some sort of heraldic device showing, you know, 9 or 10 generations going back, David. After Nikki Haley in the South Carolina GOP gerrymandered me out of Jim Clyburn's congressional district, I've been put into the brand new GOP majority District 7. And look, I've got a great chance of losing a representative, Jim Clyburn, who has much power and experience in D.C., in favor of a thug such as Andre Bauer. Oh, my God! We've heard of him before. Bauer is also backed by a majority of the Christians in this new district, these Christians are also backing a Mormon for president for the first time because they just cannot vote for that Muslim. The Democrat running in the fall, Gloria Tinubu, will be poorly financed, and she has an African surname, dark skin, plus she's a PhD in economics, which alone probably disqualifies her from holding elected office in South Carolina. After all, John Spratt, who had an economics and philosophy MA degree from Oxford, you know, England, not Mississippi, was soundly defeated last time by a booger-eating tea cracker. Yes, who is likely to be David in South Carolina's new Congress critter? Yeah, Andre Bauer. This story goes back, and I remember it well, to March of 2010, when Andre Bauer, then the lieutenant governor of the state of South Carolina, told the newspaper The State, or told an assembled meeting, I should say, that he wanted to lead in the conversation about what to do with all those useless eaters. Why shouldn't you have to do something? In government, we are too often given a handout instead of a hand up. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem if you give an animal or a person ample food supply. They will reproduce, especially ones that don't think too much further than that. And so what you got to do, you got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. Yeah, Andre Bauer, who wants to do away with food stamps, lest the po' folks, and understand when you say po' folks in South Carolina, what you're saying is black folks. It's all code. See, I think one of the reasons that the right-wingers in Virginia weirdly assumed that sea level rise was liberal code is because everything that comes out of a right-wing Republican's mouth is code. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person ample food supply, they'll reproduce, especially ones that don't think too much further than that. And you gotta curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. Right. Yeah, that's going to be David in South Carolina's new member of Congress. This in from Kate. Crosstalk with Patty. Way to go there in North Dakota. I've been following your news. We're in such a mess over here in Helena. The crazies here are out in force. The super PACs from back east are piling on money to our representative nominee for Senate. Teaster is going to have a big battle. Congratulations again. North Dakota rocks. Signed, Kate, west of you. Jim asking, what is the connection between freedom of religion and not regarding traffic signals? Do not comprehend. Do not try, Jim. You are taking your mind into a scary, ugly, moss-laden swamp full of gators and snakes and things that snap and bite. And don't try. But what it was a constitutional amendment that was written so broadly that anybody could claim religious liberty as an exception for violating the law, including traffic lights. Andre the Fool, says Jim. another one who disregards traffic laws, among other life-protecting statutes and human dignity. Oh, but you can't, you know, if you feed them, they're just going to breed. My grandma understood that. His grandma also probably went to some lynchings with a picnic basket. By the way, the Patty, you'll be pleased to know that the news out of North Dakota reached as far as Memphis. Fritz in Arkansas noting the Memphis CBS affiliate, WREG-TV, WREG, penned an editorial and was all head up about the changes of the mascot at the University of North Dakota. What was worse was that I saw this on Twitter at lunchtime today and responded. Another example of right-wing manipulation of the media. WREG Memphis asking by editorial, thank you for it, is the NCAA bullying schools into changing mascots? North Dakota voters have for now at least cleared the way for the University of North Dakota's athletic teams to drop their controversial Fight and Sue nickname and logo. North Dakotans voted 60.5% to 39.5% on Tuesday in favor, man, that was a stomping, of a referendum measure that essentially gives the school the power to drop the name, which it has sought to do to comply with an NCAA campaign targeting Native American nicknames. Oh, Mr. Orwell. Could I see you for a moment? Yeah, paragraph 2, George. An NCAA campaign. What is this NCAA, Bob? Oh, I see. An NCAA campaign targeting Native American nicknames. Couldn't one possibly say that it was an NCAA initiative aimed at ending bigotry and discrimination in the nicknaming of its member organizations? Might that be actually more appropriate, Bob? Yeah, George, I think so. That's why we keep you handy. A years-long battle over the nickname probably ain't over, says WREG. With supporters hoping to force another vote, this time calling for changing the state constitution to mandate the name's use in November. Jesus Christ, you're kidding. I told you, when it comes to trying to force their bigotries onto the people, there is no limit to the amount of money these so-called fiscal conservatives will waste on ballot measures. A constitutional amendment? Really? To enshrine the appropriation of the ethnic name of a people who have nearly been driven to extinction? Yes. The issue stems from the NCAA's long-standing efforts to get most Native American nicknames and logos out of college athletics. In 2005, the NCAA ordered almost 20 schools whose nicknames and mascots it deemed abusive in terms of race, ethnicity, or national origin to either get Native American permission to use their names and likenesses or come up with new ones. NCAA said schools continuing to use such nicknames without permission would, among other things, be prohibited from hosting NCAA championship events. Although one tribal body, Spirit Lake, supported the Fightin' Sioux nickname, another group, the Tribal Council of the Standing Rock Sioux, did not give its endorsement, so the North Dakota Board of Higher Education agreed in 2007 to retire the nickname by August 2011. But some North Dakotans, including the Spirit Lake group, objected, and the state legislature passed a law in early 2011 requiring the university to use the Fightin' Sioux nickname. What is that that the Republicans are always saying about how they want to get government off of our backs? And yet, you know who's driving this. This is not this constitutional amendment is not driven by a bunch of liberals. Suddenly having big government on our backs, well, you know, just hook on the piton and get climbing, Republicans. Right up here on my back. University of North Dakota Alumni Association and Foundation opposes the nickname. They say the consequences of keeping it extend beyond NCAA sanctions. This, again, according to WREG. It says that recruitment is suffering in part because some other schools, including Wisconsin, Minnesota, and South Dakota State, won't compete with UND's teams over the issue. Good God. We... I have to get a drink. The Spirit Lake Committee, Slooker, the Spirit Lake Committee for Understanding and Respect, which is among the nickname supporters, argues that the name and logo represent the Sioux people in North Dakota history well. I don't see how...
Well, Bill, it's 4th and 23 for the hapless fighting Sioux in their 0-11 campaign thus far this season and the continuing efforts to find a victory.
Now, I don't know. The UND may be a damn fine football team.
Time's winding down on the Fighting Sioux.
Well, it might be appropriate.